That's like the first rule of preaching. Never listen to yourself preach. You never preach again. You heard it. Other, you got one of your CDs the other day, didn't you, Brother Chris? And like, you, what is it? Take your Bible, turn to Psalms 150, Psalms 40, and Psalms 107. We'll start in Psalms 150. Psalms 150. Everybody ought to be familiar with these. Ought to be real familiar Psalms to you. Psalms 150 is the last Psalm in the book of Psalms. And it says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with a psaltery and harp, praise Him with a timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye Amen. The Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, we ought to praise God. Amen. Turn over to Psalm chapter 40. I like the way this message is starting off already. Amen. We had a good service this morning. It had a good, sweet spirit and a lot of singing. It was good. Amen. Let's carry it tonight. Amen. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, heard my cry, brought me up out of a horrible pit, picture of salvation, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, watch it even, praise unto my God, our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. One of the first things God does when He saves you, He gives you a new song and puts a praise in your mouth. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Turn to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Psalms 107 verse 1 says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. We're going into Thanksgiving this week. Thanksgiving, that's what I got on the board. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Let God know whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted. Does that sound like you before you got saved? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble and delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Come down to verse 15. We can read it all. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Come down to verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works through the children of men. Come down to verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I mean, if there's anything in the world we ought to praise, it ought to be the Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, if there's anything in the world we ought to get excited about, it ought to be the Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, brother, that ought to be just part of our lives. I mean, I like to praise God. God's been good to me, Miss Zito. Amen. I mean, really good, Miss Samantha. I've been in some good churches, Brother Don. I've been in churches, Brother Chris. I'm telling you where they run down the pews.
Yeah.
I've been in churches where they take a lap and boy, they get excited running around the building and somebody will jump on their back and start riding it. Yeah. I've been in those.
Amen.
I've been in those churches, so Miss Debbie, that's so thick sometimes, like Brother Charlie said, you need to have a C&I dog to get around and get so thick. I've been in some good churches. I've been in churches where, brother, it got real in the body or out of the body. I can't tell. And I'll tell you, brother, it's good to praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's what we ought to do. I was looking on the internet the other day. And I kind of keep up with Thompson football down. A bunch of people I used to work with, they kids played Thompson. Thompson never won a game to this kid from Hawaii. This Tagaloo showed up, you know. His older brother's down there at Alabama. And they're undefeated this year. Number one in the state, Brother Ben. They beat Mountain Brook the other night 34-10. That dude, He's number six. He's been playing 1 year. And Brother Zito, he's already number six overall with 3,568 yards. He only needs 500 yards to break Coleman Tyler's single season record. That kid can play, brother. I mean, what a game. And I was reading the thing in there, and when they come to the sideline and started to interview him, here's what he said. First of all, I want to give glory to God because you have to trust in Him. Woo! That's my kind of guy right there, brother. I mean, he's breaking records. He said, first of all, I want to give the glory to God.
Amen.
Woo! I remember a few years ago, October 94, the Alabama-Georgia game. Ben could tell you every play in the game, I guarantee you. And it was Jay Barker, quarterback. And it was Georgia and Alabama. Played at Bryant Stadium. Alabama won 29-28 by one play. Remember that, Brother Zito? And Jay Barker broke all kind of records. They said here off the website, the Bryant Denny said, Bryant Denny Stadium, it's the most electrified night game in the history of Bryant Denny Stadium. That guy, I'll never forget it. Man, Jay Barker was threading the needle, dude. He passed for a record 396 yards, 26 of 34. I mean, brother, it was a Hall of Fame night. And me and my son, we was watching it, and man, I was so pumped up, man. I was into that game, boy. We'd get running around. My wife tell you, we'd get going around the room, man, and jump up and high-five. Man, you think we're on the sideline. Man, I was so carnal, Brother Ben. I was carnal. I'll be honest with you. God wouldn't know where in my thoughts, Miss Samantha. And I'll never get after that game. Boy, me and my son, we were so pumped up. Woo, woo, shouting, getting excited. And Jay Barker runs over to the sideline. They stick a microphone in him. And he said, first of all, I want to give glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Woo! I told Brother Jay a couple of years after that, I saw him. I said, dude, you almost kicked off the rapture of my house. I said, they like to kick it off, man. You know what we ought to do? We ought to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, the Lord. And God's people especially ought to praise the Lord. And I want to give you and preach a message tonight on why Christians, I'm talking saved people now, I want to preach on why Christians do not praise the Lord. I'm talking about people that are saved. I'm talking about people that's going home to heaven. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of Christians don't praise the Lord. And I'm going to give you a few reasons tonight. Number one, I want to say they don't praise Him because they don't know Him.
Yeah.
They don't know Him.
Amen.
I didn't say they weren't saved. They're saved. They know about Him. They know what He did. But they don't know Him. And there's a huge difference. He knows them. He said in John chapter 10, He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. He knows who His sheep are and He knows you. But I want to tell you, a lot of God's people don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They know about Him, but they don't know Him. They're not intimate with Him. Bob Jones Sr. said, you can get saved in a few minutes, but it takes time and a walk to know the Lord. And a lot of God's people don't praise the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't know Him. Now He knows them. You get to know Him walking and talking and spending time with Him.
Yeah.
Kind of like a marriage.
Right.
You know, salvation is like a marriage in the Bible too, by the way. You know that, don't you? You don't know who you get married when you get married. Now Jeff and Debbie, Mike, they grew up together. Don and Carol, Mike, he proposed to her when she was 5 and he was 14. Judge Roy Moore says, hey, I like that. I like that. He did, 5 years old. He said, I'll be back in a few years, little girl. 50 years later, he tracked you down, didn't he? Amen. But you know, when you get married, brother, you don't know that person. It's all faith right there. It's faith that works. Faith before you get married and works after you get married. Amen. You got to work it. You know, it's the same way with the Lord when you get saved, brother. You don't know the Lord when you get saved. You know you're dying and going to hell. You know you need to get saved, but you don't know the Lord at that time. It's after you get saved and that relationship gets built and you walk and talk with God. You get to know Him. I've been married to my wife 75 years. I'm only 62. We got married when I was minus 12, I think. We've been married a long time. I know all about her. I love her more today than I did back then. You know why? We've been through the trials and the tears and the trouble and raising kids. We've been through the glad times, the sad times, the bad times, the bad. Just like you. You know what that does? It lets us know each other. It develops that relationship, Miss Gay. And that's the same way with the Lord. When we go through and bring our trials and troubles and tears to Him, we get to know Him. A lot of God's people, they don't praise the Lord, Brother Chris, because they don't know Him. Do you know Him? I know the Lord.
Amen.
Like a man one time, he married this opera singer, Brother Chris, and she is pretty good looking, you know. Of course, she dolled up. You know how that is. You know, she had her face on, you know. And he married her and had the honeymoon. They woke up the next day and he looked over there and all that makeup was off. Her hair was in rollers. And he took one look and he said, "Honey, sing, sing, sing. Start singing." So he know what he married. Amen. My dog, Rosie, she's funny. She's a scaredy cat. Esther come out there with rollers and try to give her a snack and she'll run. She'll say, "Oh, I don't want nothing to do with that." I said, "Hey, Rosie, I feel the same way sometimes." Amen. It's just you get to know them in that relationship and it grows and that love grows and that praise grows. And a lot of Christians don't praise the Lord because they don't know Him. I know Him today. I don't know about Him. I just don't. I know Him. I don't know Him like a lot of people. I don't know Him like Tommy Tillman does. I don't know Him like John Prescott does. It goes all over this country. That guy, he's amazing. I don't know Him like a lot of people, but I know Him. I know Him enough to praise Him and get excited about Him and tell people about Him and brag about Him, Brother Chris. A lot of relationships, when you get started, you don't know them. It's kind of like old Forrest Gump, that old movie, you know. He said, my mama said, life's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you get till you open it up. That's the way life is, isn't it? Let's be honest. That's the way a marriage is, isn't it? You don't know what you got in that marriage, do you? Till you get years down later down the road. I mean, you don't know. I remember telling my son-in-law, before he married my daughter, I gave him the scoop on her, boy. I said, "This girl right here is selfish." And she was. I said, "She'll spend every dime you got." I said, "This girl wants everything her way." And I said, "You're going to wake up some nights by the bed with your hand in your head. You're saying, 'Oh God, what did I do? What did I get into?'" She got kids. She grew up pretty quick, praise the Lord. But you know, that's part of it. And that's part of serving God. There's going to be some time with God that you'll have to sit down and say, "Oh Lord, what in the world did I get into? Lord, I'm in a mess right now." And that's where that relationship builds. And that's what a lot of people don't, God's people don't know the Lord. That's why they don't praise Him.
Right.
You know, you get to know your spouse through the tears, the troubles, the times. You know what you need to do? You literally let God into your life. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. A lot of God's people don't praise the Lord because they don't know Him. Now they know about Him. They sing about Him. We sing that song, "I want to know more about my Lord." We need to know more than just about Him. We need to know Him. We need to be comfortable around Him. We need to enjoy His fellowship and His presence. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul knew him. Philippians 3, 10 says this, "That I may know Him." Not talk, know about Him. Paul said, "I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." That's that fellowship of the sufferings and going through things in life. That's what Paul said. That's how I'm going to get to know Him.
Amen.
Going through that stuff.
Amen.
Look over 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, they have these things called group therapies. And people, they go through troubles in their life. and they go through tragedies and divorces and all that kind of stuff, problems, and they get together with a group and they bond together and they develop a relationship and they get close. You say, why? Because they put their troubles out there and their trials and their tears and they get to know each other. I went to Bible school down there in Pensacola for 4 years. We called it boot camp. It was boot camp. I'd never been to service, but some of them guys had. And you work all day, and you go to school from 6 to 10. Then when you court from 12 to 1. Then you study from 2 to 3. Then you try to sleep a couple of hours and go into work. After a while, it gets to you after a few years of that kind of stuff. And we, you know what? I got to know some of my best friends my whole life down there. When you go through stuff like that, you get to know people. Look over 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Paul said this, "For the which cause I also suffer." Look at this. "I suffer these things." I'm going through some stuff. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." Paul said, "I'm going through this stuff. I've suffered these things, but I know him through it. And I'm not ashamed." You know, a lot of Christians don't praise him because they don't know him. They don't know him. Revelation 3:20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door..." He said, "I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." You know what God wants? Brother Earl preached a little bit about that one night. God wants fellowship with you. He wants to say, "Hey, open the door. Let's me and you sit down and sup. And let's just enjoy the fellowship." You know what I love to do? I love to get up in the morning and I go walk around Cosby Lake. I'm a walker anyway, man. I like to walk and pass out tracts. And I just talk to the Lord, Miss Carol. The whole time. I'm just sitting there talking to the Lord, going through sermons, praying to Him, and just walking. I've heard a lot. I read with Charles Spurgeon. He'd get up every morning, Brother Chris, and that's when he'd go talk to the Lord. He'd walk around. Brother Ruckman used to get up in the morning and run barefooted 7 miles and talk to the Lord. I wouldn't recommend that. But a lot of people, Brother Rouse and Matthew, I've heard him talking about before, he gets up and takes his walk and he walks and talks with the Lord. It's just a time set aside, whatever it might be. Years ago, I'd go fishing. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd be out there before even the birds got up. And the clay and the condensation would come up. And it'd just be me and God. Boy, it was sweet. It's time just to get away from everything and get along with the Lord, just sup with Him and get to know Him. That's what He wants. Here's this article I mentioned this morning. WorldNet Daily News came out, and it's from a Pew Research Forum. And it's called "American Christians Are Staging Rebellion Against God." We're rebelling in the last couple of years. 8%. There's been an 8% decline in the Christians and just in the last couple of years. We haven't seen that much in the last 50 years that quick. And one of the preachers here said this. He said, "We live in a world of distractions with the god of this world, better known as Satan, the devil, promoting countless activities and attraction that divert people's attention away from the Lord. He is distracting them from God, who is looking for human beings into the children of God, the offspring of God, as the New Testament declares. God knows that people, Satan knows that people are attracted to the things they see, so it's easy for them to fall into watching sports and TV and movie and Facebook and YouTube and all that." And he said, "We're robbing the time that was dedicated to the Lord." You know why a lot of Christians don't praise God? Because they don't know Him. They know about Him, but they don't know Him. I was here at Eastern Tire last week and having an $876 bill, thank you. Come in there, went in for a $49 front end alignment. Ended up with $876 bill. So I'm in a waiting room sitting there, you know, before they call me in like the doctor's office. You know how it is. Who drives that 2004 Ford Explorer? But I sit in the waiting room, there's a man sitting next to me. His name was Dennis Brooks. He's 71 years old. He used to be the vice president of a glass doctor. And I know some people that work at glass. I know the guy that owns it, actually. We got talking to him. And He was a nice guy. He's a Vietnam veteran in the Marines, had a Vietnam cap on. Brother Jeff, you'd have loved him. He knew a lot about war. He is a talker too, man. I gave him a gospel tract, you know, and he looked at everything. I said, "You saved?" He said, "I sure am saved." I said, "When you get saved?" He told me as a teenager he got saved. We got talking, man. He was a nice guy. He was telling me how him and his wife, he lived out in Center Point, and then he moved out to Hayden. Really nice guy. And he said, "You know," he said, "I never tasted a drink of alcohol in my life." He said, "I never put a cigarette in my mouth my whole life." He said, "Me and my wife, she's never took a drink of alcohol. She's never smoked a cigarette. He said, "We've never walked into a movie house in our life." He said, "We grew up in church. We grew up with the Lord." He said, "We grew up, got saved early." But he said, and I was working on this message. God gives you illustrations, you know it. And I was talking to him. He said, "You know," he said, "years ago," he said, "me and my wife, we was trying to get by and pay bills and all that kind of stuff and having all the problems," he said, "couples have." And he said, "One day we had a meeting there at the kitchen table." And he told her, he said, "Honey, you know what?" He said, "I think we just need to give this whole thing to Jesus Christ." He said, "We can't run this thing. We don't know what we're doing. We're making a mess." He said, "I think it's time we just give Him our life and everything we got, and let's just let Him run the show." And he said, "We did that." And he said, "Preacher, I know Him just like that." At that moment, he said, "I started walking with Him." He said, "I was saved." Yeah. But he said, "I didn't really know Him to that point." But he said, "I got to the point where I just said, we can't make this thing work. We're making a mess." Most Christians don't praise Him because they don't know Him. I want to tell you another reason they don't praise Him. They don't grow Him. They don't grow Him. You know what the Lord, when He gets saved, you know what happens? He plants a seed inside of you. Brother Chris mentioned that the other night. That was good stuff. He mentioned that message. He said, "There are some things you have that God wants." I got to hear that message. When are you going to preach it?
I think I did half of it.
Oh, half of it? Well, you got to preach the other half. Because if you don't hurry up preaching, I'm going to steal it and preach and tell everybody God gave it to me, see? Like Brother Charlie, that's what he would say. You know what he said? He said, "One of the things you've got that God wants, He wants that seed that He put inside of you." See, when you got saved, God put a seed inside of you. And it's up to you now to do what you do with that seed, whether it grows or gets stagnant or never anything happens. A lot of Christians don't praise the Lord because they don't let that seed grow in them. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and get 1 John chapter 3. It's just like any other seed. God puts that seed in you when you got saved. And you know what you have to do? That seed needs to grow. And it's up to you at this point. You got to water it. You got to prune it. You got to weed it. You got to work it just like a garden. You got to let the sunshine come in, brother. You got to let the wind and the rain nurture it. And if you don't, it won't grow. But you know, a lot of Christians, they take that seed and they hide it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. Matthew 13, 23 says, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 30, 60, some 30. You say, what does it do? That seed grows, my friend, and it bears fruit. And that seed in you, brother, it ought to grow. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, they're saved, thank God, but they got fire insurance and that's all they're interested in. Thank God they got it. But that's it. But there's so much more. We'll just let Him grow in this and let Him water that seed. And a lot of Christians don't praise the Lord because they don't know Him. A lot of them don't let Him grow. They don't work their salvation. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." God put that sinless seed. The Bible said in 1 Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. And God saved you, put that seed in you.
Right.
We're to have it grow. And we water it by the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. We prune it and clean it and keep clean, get the sin out of our lives. We let the sun shine. We fellowship with the Lord. Get under that sunshine. Inside you, when you got saved, you know what happened? God put the Holy Ghost in you. Turn over to John 14, Romans 8. A lot of Christians don't praise the Lord because they don't let Him grow. They keep Him boxed in. Brother, He wants to grow. He wants to bear fruit in your life. Like that blessed man in Psalms 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the wilderness that bring forth his fruit. He grows. We ought to be growing. A lot of Christians don't let the Lord grow. They keep Him boxed in. John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I pray the Father, He should give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Romans 8:9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, your body's dead. Inside you, when you got saved, Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, came inside. Brethren, we're going to let it grow. It ought to be just growing everywhere. A lot of Christians stagnated. They quenched the Holy Spirit. All throughout the Bible we find that. Colossians 1:27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwell in you. Over and over and over. And the Lord wants to grow that seed in our lives. And you know what? When He grows, we slow. What John the Baptist said in John 3:30. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, if He's going to grow, you've got to slow. If He's going to rise, you've got to die. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. He said, I'm dead. What I'm doing is letting Jesus grow and go in me. A lot of Christians don't want to go too far with the Lord. They got their fire insurance. They got their amazing grace. Thank God they got it. But that's all they want. Like over in Exodus chapter 8. Reminds me of Pharaoh when he said, let the children go. He said this, verse 28. He said, I'll let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. That's why a lot of Christians, they don't want to get too far in this thing. They don't want to get too far in it. They think, well, maybe I'll go back in the world. So they hold all those rock wreckers and all that junk and all that stuff just in case I backslide. You need to just burn the bridges and burn it all, brother, and just go all out for the Lord. I remember when I got saved, I read my Bible all the time. I'd get up couple hours early for work and read it, Brother Chris. I'd come home at night and read it, and I was witnessing my dad and all them. And you know, I mean, a few weeks ago, man, before that I was on dope, you know, and all that. And my daddy, he's like, boy, he said, I can still hear that dope done cooked your mind. He said, you're reading that Bible, and he said, I'm gonna tell you, he said, that Bible right there will drive you crazy. He said, there are people in brushes, it's full of people down there that got too far of that Bible. You ever heard that? I've heard that. Hey, say, that's the way a lot of Christians, they're scared to death if they get too far in this thing. They might not be able to come back. Thank God I don't want to come back where I was. Amen. Like old Gypsy Smith used to sing at Evangelist, if I'm dreaming, just let me dream on. Amen. I'm not interested in going back. I want to go as far as I can go with this thing. A lot of Christians, they don't praise the Lord. They don't let it grow. They stop Him. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. A lot of verses I could give you. 1 Peter 2:2 said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you can grow thereby. We're to grow, brethren. We're not to stay the same. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. We all grow. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him all things. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be growing every day. We ought to be growing. I've heard somebody say years ago, they said, Brother Chris, the Christian life is like an airplane ride. Y'all heard that? When you stop going and growing, going up, you fall down.
Yeah.
If you don't grow with the Lord and you don't go with the Lord, you know what? You go down. A lot of Christians don't praise the Lord. They don't know Him. They know about Him. They don't really know Him. First, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians 1:20. They don't know Him. They don't grow Him. Look at Philippians 1:20. Here's Apostle Paul. When Jesus Christ is not growing, increasing, He goes down. Philippians 1:20, Paul said, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Paul said, I'm growing, I'm lifting Him up, and always, always Christ is magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, it doesn't matter what's going on, where I'm at, whatever I'm doing, Jesus Christ is going to be magnified and glorified. He's going to grow. Whether it's life or whether it's death. A lot of Christians, they don't praise the Lord because they don't know Him. And a lot of Christians, they don't praise the Lord because they don't grow Him. He just stays a little seed their whole life, and He never lets that fruit grow. I'll give you one more thing tonight. I want to say a lot of Christians don't praise the Lord is because they don't show Him. They don't show Him. You know what they do? They keep the whole Lord hidden and don't want anybody to know what's going on. I preached a message here July the 31st last year, how Christians hide the Lord. Hide Him with our sin. We hide Him itself. We put ourselves above Him. Christians are bad about hiding the Lord. You know why a lot of Christians don't praise Him? They don't want to show Him. Brother, I want to show Him off. I'm so excited about God. I'm so excited about the Lord. I just love to show Him off. I'm honored to be a child of God. I'm honored. I was telling you this morning, I don't like baseball caps much. I'm not a baseball cap wearer. Brother Zito's not either. I don't think Brother Chris is either. I know, but if you watch me wherever I go, when I go out the door nowadays, I put my Jesus baseball cap on. Not because I like it. Not because I think it's cool. Just because it's got a witness right there, that big old name, Jesus died for you on it. I like bumper stickers. I like them. I got one over there on our car. Jesus died for your sin, like some of you. I got, you must be born again. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. I like the scripture sign. You say, well, I want to show Him off. I want all the world to see Him. I like buttons. We make buttons. We got tracks. We do all kinds of... You say, why? I want to show Him off. Kind of like my grandkids, man. Jeff's grandkids were here last week. As soon as they walked in the door, him and Debbie, man, they just... You could just... I mean, they've been with them all week, but you could just see them start beaming. And they left, and Brother Jeff, he said to me afterwards, he said, boy, them kids were something else, weren't they? I said, man, they sure were. We love to show off our grandkids. We love to show off our kids. I mean, I've been to work before. These guys that come in and wear these ties, you know, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Bugs Bunny, and they walk around like this. And that's the ugliest tie you ever seen. They wouldn't be caught dead in that tie. You know what happened, don't you? One of the grandkids or one of the kids gave them that tie for Christmas, and they just want you to say, where'd you get that tie? They're proud of that tie. You know what God's people ought to be doing? We ought to be walking around like that. What's wrong with you? I got saved, friend, and I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to show Him off. A lot of Christians don't praise the Lord because they don't want to show Him. They hide Him. You know, wherever we go, Walmart, Eastern Tire, Public, the park, the yard sale, the doctor's office, wherever we sit down, in 2 or 3 minutes you ought to start praising God. I mean, wherever you're at, and you sit down, I don't care where it's at, and you're just sitting there, you ought to be able to give a track and start praising God and telling them about your wonderful Savior. It ought to be so natural to you, it ought to just flow out. The Bible said one time, it said, where the Spirit of Christ is, there's liberty. You ought to have that liberty, man, just to witness for the Lord. A lot of Christians, they don't praise Him because they don't show Him. Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I tell you, I've got something to get excited about. And brother, I'm telling you, this is the best thing I've ever got hold of, and it's the most real thing I've ever got. I'm thinking about Brother Earl's message. Is it real? Woo! Is it real? Woo! I mean, there's sometimes I can't hardly stand it. And I'm not a real excitable person. My wife would tell you I'm dull as dirt. Not a whole lot gets me excited, man. Woo! The only thing that ever got me excited in my whole life was Jesus Christ. That's it. I get excited about Him. But there's not a whole lot that gets me going, brother. But brother, I get excited about Him. I want to show Him off to the world. I used to go to Fellowship Baptist Church when I got out of Bible school. We worked with Brother Robert first. He had a church. That didn't last long. He's had about 20 churches, about 2 months every time. We went to Hueytown. Brother Robert helped him a little bit and closed that down. Started looking for a church, Miss Zito. King James Bible believing church. And what I do is, we had 2 kids at the time, I think, or 1. And so I let them stay home and I'd go to these churches because most of them were, I didn't want them around there. So I kind of stake them out and scout them, you know, go around. And I went to Fellowship Baptist over there in Gaston Highway, and Brother Narvis was the pastor. And I'm telling you, that old man could preach. And he was King James, everything about it. And man, that day I went in, Miss Zito, he was lifting that thing up. This King James Bible just having a time up there. I come home and told my wife, I said, we found our church. We found our church. And that old man, he was something. He got saved when he was 48 years old. He looked like he was 148 years old. He had so much sin. He said, I used to buy the longest cigarettes I could find. He said, I'd like to have one about 3 foot long. He said, I'd smoke that thing out in hell so much. He said, I'd try to get that smoke down in my toes. What he used to say. He got saved when he was 48 years old. When he went to the altar, he's a deacon in a Presbyterian church, and he got under conviction to get saved, started going down the altar. They wanted to try to have him committed. He was so under so much conviction. And he got saved. God called him to preach. He was one of the hardest preachers I ever heard. I'm a cupcake and a snowflake compared to him, man. I wouldn't even be Joel Osteen compared to that preacher. That preacher let her rip, buddy. When he got through, you know who you're going to get preached to. But when it come to the Lord, he'd weep and cry. He had such a tender heart. That old man was one of the best soul winners I've been around. He helped me. I saw his son last week, and I was telling him, I said, boy, your dad helped me. I got right out of Bible school. I was his youth pastor for a few years and everything. And we used to go out visitations a lot. And that old man, he would talk to people, Brother Chris, and you could just feel that concern and compassion on him. I remember one time he was telling us there at the service, he'd been at the hospital visiting somebody, and he led a lady to the Lord, and he got on the elevator, and he was whistling. You know, he couldn't sing, but he'd whistle. He was just whistling and excited, you know. And it was a crowd full of elevators he was talking about, and a man looked in there, and he said, you know what? That's one happy man right there. And he said, I sure am a happy man. Could I tell you why I'm so happy? Woo! He led the whole bunch of them to the Lord. Amen. Hey, let's get all excited and go tell somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Let's let the world know. Let's show Him. That old song, we talk about people. You talk about things that really aren't important at all. You talk about the weather. You talk about problems that are here tomorrow. But friend, I'm excited about a solution for the world. And I'm going to shout and sing that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Let's get all excited. and tell everybody about Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians, they don't want to show Him. Boy, do I ever want to show Him. I'd like to get me a... If y'all ever see one, let me know. Get me a shirt that you can program lights on. That you can walk around, you know, Jesus saves on it. Something like that. I like that old boy in the Salvation Army, Brother Zito, in that book, old Joe the Turk. He's a character, wasn't he? He had Jesus saved on the bottom of his feet. Remember that? He had a stamp. He'd go around wherever he'd see anybody, he'd just go around stamping them. That said Jesus saved, didn't he? He's arrested 57 times, by the way. Hey, them old boys, he wasn't one to show it. One time he got arrested there in jail with that painter. And he had the paint there. And he arrested Joel the Turk for preaching. And he got in that cell and he painted it with paint. And they put on there real big letters, Jesus saves, repent or perish. Say, well, he wanted to show them what he's got, brother. Listen, let's show them Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians don't praise Him because they don't want to show Him. Brother, I want to show Him off.
Amen.
He's something else, man. I love to show my grandkids off. I can't wait till next week to go down there and see them little squirts. He calls me a couple of times a week. He guess what, Papa? Guess what, Papa? Guess what? He's a hoot, man. He's smart as a whip, isn't he? Genius. Bonafide genius, I'm telling you. I'm not biased. I'm just telling you the truth now. Telling you the truth. Love to show them kids. I love to show the Lord off, man. I'm so excited about this thing, Miss Samantha. Sometimes I just want to get raptured right there. I like it, man. Woo! I like Brother Ben and his pop-ups. Walking around in fast food. Popping up and telling people about God. That's what we ought to do. We ought to show Him. Show Him.
Amen.
Show Him wherever we go. Matthew 5:14 says, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither a man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and give it light unto all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." Remember that old song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine." Brother, we all let Him show. He said, "One time I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." You know why a lot of Christians don't praise the Lord? They don't know Him. They know about Him. They know they're saved. They don't have their walk with Him. You know why a lot of them don't praise Him? They don't grow Him. It's kind of stagnant in their life. They don't water. They don't spend time with Him. You know why they don't praise Him? They don't show Him. Kind of just go through this life with nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, when I worked for UAB, been 20-something years ago. I was with Baptist the last 20 years, so about 25 years ago when I was working with UAB. I worked for them for 10 years there at the hospital. I was a manager over there. That's a rough place to work at times, Miss Samantha. Because you got all them doctors you got to deal with. The doctors were every meeting I've ever been in. And they're not nice a lot of times. I had a big meeting. UAB's all over Birmingham. You'll have a meeting and it'll be all the way across town. And this day I had a meeting, Brother Jeff, and it was all the way on the north side of Birmingham. UAB's over on the south side. And had to go all the way over there and park. And there's about 50 people in this room. And they had one target. CFOs, CIOs, some of them were the university. This one lady, boy, she just got on me like a duck on a June bug. I mean, I'm just in there for this meeting. And I go in this thing, and there I'm on my suit and tie, you know, I'm looking like I know what I'm doing. And I'm in there, you know, and everything. And I mean, they just beat me to death for about 2 hours. I was a human pinata. They just beat me to death. And I remember I walked out of that meeting, Brother Chris, and I mean, boy, I've been chewed out a lot of times. So is Miss Debbie. She's a manager. I tell you, well, you're a manager. I've had them get right in my face this close and chew me out many times. I'm familiar with that. But this was in the top five this day. And boy, I left that day and I wasn't feeling too good. It was hot, about 100 degrees. Brother Jeff had my coat on, had to park about four blocks away, and it's about 100 degrees, and I'm walking downtown, you know, just like that. And I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, right there in the sidewalk, I didn't see it, there's a big old wad of bubble gum. I'm not talking chewing gum, I'm talking about that nasty bubble gum. And it's 100 degrees, and so it's melted like liquid. And I'm telling the truth, folks. And I walk in that thing, and I step my foot in it. And I start walking, and it just starts stretching. So I do this, Miss Debbie. I do this to try to get it off. And you know what happens? It gets deeper. So I get my pen out of my pocket, and I go, I do this. And I get my pen stuck. It's down there now. Only thing I had left, Miss Jane, was my time card. So I took it, and I started scraping the thing up, and had gum all over my time card. I wasn't a happy camper that day, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad the rapture didn't happen right then. I'd have got stuck at the end of the line that day, I believe. But I remember I went through that, and I wasn't feeling too good. Boy, God's been good to me. I've met some incredible Christians through the years, man. I mean, some unbelievable ones. And I'm standing there on the corner downtown Birmingham, gum on my shoe and on my time card, and been chewed up, spit out, 100 degrees, sweating. Here she comes. She's walking across the street. And it's an old black blind lady. She got one of them little canes. You ever seen them? She's about 80 years old. She's walking with that little cane going across the street there, coming right toward me. And her eyes, she didn't have anything over her eyes. And her eyes, you know how some blind people, they don't have any pigments, they're just white. And her eyes were white, but she was old and they were yellow. Her eyes were yellow and her teeth were falling out. And her face was shrunken in and all wrinkled. Looked like one of them shrunken heads you see on TV. And she was just about bald, had some matty hair, about bald. I mean, one of the ugliest persons you ever seen in your life. I mean, she looked like something out of a horror movie, seriously. And she came up to me, and here I am not having a good day. And she had that cane. I don't know how they know it, but they can tell when somebody's there. And she comes up to me and stops right in front of me with that cane. She looks up and she says, Sir, can you tell me where the insurance company is? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, you go right down this road, down this street here, and you turn there at the traffic light, and you go right, and it's about a block down on the side down there. She looks at me. She said, well, thanks you, sir. And she started walking off, Miss Zito. And she had a dead leg, Miss Samantha, and she was dragging that leg like this. And had that cane. Blind. Ugly. And I went over to her, and I said, ma'am, I said, I tell you what, take my arm and I'll walk you over to that insurance company. And as soon as I did it, Miss Samantha, my old flesh popped in and said, UAD colleague sitting there now walking with this black lady across over here. After that chewing out, they're going to say, hey, I saw you with your girlfriend. That's the first thing I thought. But I'm walking along with this lady and we're going snail's pace, you know. She's dragging that leg. And I looked over, I said, ma'am, has anybody ever told you about Jesus Christ? I said, anybody ever told you how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and how He died on the cross and shed His blood to keep you out of hell? And Miss Zito, she just stopped, Miss Liz. She started crying. Tears started coming down her eyes. She looked up, she said, oh, I know my Jesus. She just said, I knows my Jesus. And boy, me and that little old blind lady, Miss Samantha, we walked her down that thing, and boy, we were skipping along and shouting, man, we was talking about heaven. I never been so proud in my life to walk with anybody. I was hoping the whole world to see me with that sister, brother. I want to tell you, brother, I want to show him all. You know what that old sister did, Brother Zito? She knew him. That old ugly lady, I never forget it. Boy, she looked up and she had a glow and a sparkle about her, Miss Liz, and there was a twinkle in those eyes, man. There was a beauty in that face. There's no painter in the world could paint that, brother. When she just said, I knows my Jesus. I knows my Jesus. You know why a lot of Christians don't praise Him? Because they don't know Him. Do you know Him? I'm not talking about are you saved. I'm not talking about you know Him. Do you know Him? Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Every head bowed tonight. Give you a few minutes. Ask my wife to come play something tonight. Give a little bit of intimation. God spoke to you, whatever the thing this morning.